Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. We come to you each week and bring you often a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called ancient future Christian faith. And believe me, if there was ever a time that we need to really get in touch with our ancient Christian roots, it's in these, well, bizarre days where we see the world seemingly in chaos around us. It's especially at times when I need a little pastoral guidance myself and some encouragement that I love to call upon not only my dear friend, but somebody I consider my pastor, Dr. Carl Peters, who's calling in today from Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Carl, and thank you for taking the time to do this, especially as I know you must be very busy with your own congregation these days.
Chris, it's always a delight to be with you, and I can return that sentiment to you. I consider you a pastor and a dear colleague, and look forward to sharing this time with you today.
Carl, I don't think in our wildest imaginations we would have been able to predict something like what we're in right now with this COVID-19 business. We're roughly a week or so into the quarantine isolation. And I thought it might be interesting to talk a bit about the challenges to the church and maybe particularly to pastors. Although in many ways we're called to pastor each other, aren't we? So all kinds of folks can take some help and hints from this conversation about how they're going to work with and encourage the saints. Carl, what unbelievable times we're in.
3 weeks ago, or however long it was, we were living our lives in the status quo, counting off the days as they came and went. And suddenly, a huge roadblock was put in the way of any kind of socialization. And it dawned on those of us who are in the ecclesial world, this is going to drastically affect the gathering of God's people, which has always been at the heart of who we are as we gather together to worship God. So we had to come up with a lot of creativity on the fly, and I have never seen such collaboration in all of my days.
Yeah, it has certainly affected the way we're doing church right now. But I can't help but think it's going to change the way we do church after this thing is over with. But I suppose one place we ought to start, Carl, especially since we call this broadcast Ancient Future Faith, is with our ancient Christian past. And I know you've heard this before, but I'll repeat it again. I shared with my congregation that this situation is not new, and it's not especially novel or unusual in our Christian history, in the Christian story. The problem is so many Christians do not know our Christian story and Christian history, right?
I think you're onto something there. What we find in the Christian story is not fear and retreat, but perseverance and sort of a radical approach to martyrdom, if necessary, in order to carry on the building of the kingdom of God on the earth. And that is the story that we find not only in the pages of Scripture, but also in the early church as they went out to live their faith.
You know that about halfway through the 200s, so we're now going all the way back to the 3rd century, there was a terrible plague in the Roman world. And it wasn't cholera, but I'm not remembering just off the top of my head what it was. It was some sort of skin contact disease. So you can imagine that these crowded, dirty cities like Rome especially were hit hard. But this particular plague, Carl, reached from, I think, Ethiopia all the way to Scotland. And it was called the Cyprian plague. You know that Cyprian was a bishop in North Africa, and he wasn't responsible for the plague, but they named it after him for maybe a couple of reasons. Certainly one of them is that he kind of monitored what this thing was doing and took careful notes. In fact, we owe a lot of the historicity of this thing to Cyprian. But probably, or at least possibly, the Romans named it after him to attach a Christian Christian name to such a horrible thing. The irony is, and you know this story well, when everyone who had means retreated to what, the countryside or the mountains or whatever, they were the toilet paper hoarders of their day. And they bunkered down, right? They hunkered down. It was the Christians, Carl, who stayed behind in the cities and ministered to and helped and served those who were getting sick. Isn't that almost exactly what we're going through today?
You know, I see that same kind of spirit in our medical workers today.
Yeah.
Who are ministering to the needs of those who are very ill, often at the risk of their own illness. And that was the spirit of the day. And the Christians were credited with caring for thousands and thousands of people. And I think the reputation of the church was settled across the world in the way they cared for people, disregarding their own safety and their own security in order to care for others. And there is certainly a lesson for us in that.
Well, I'm thinking that those folks would have had no idea, or could not in their wildest dreams or imaginations been able to think about comfy churches with luxurious carpeting and seating and having a perfect multi-sensory worship experience, because for them, the church was, after all, the people. And I suppose that brings us around to what we're, gosh, how we're handling this now, because we're finding out anew that the church is the people. But before we talk about that, let me remind folks that they're listening to a podcast and radio program called Ancient Future Faith. It's brought to you each week by Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. I'm Chris Alford, the pastor, and on the line with me today from Lexington, Kentucky is my dear friend and also someone I consider my pastor, Dr. Carl Peters. And we're talking about this corona business, and particularly how it is shaping, what would you say, Carl, how we're doing church, right? So, gosh, there's so many things to think of. But when you first think about how this has changed the way you're doing church, what comes to mind?
Well, there's a common mistake that the church is a building.
Right.
You know, most of the time you ask people, where's your church? They give you a street address. We are confronted with the fact very clearly now that the church is not a building. It is the body. And we are scattered right now based on this isolation that we're in, mandated by the government, and acted upon by a people who care deeply that this pandemic be stopped. And this is one facet of that. And churches are, I believe, not only glad to comply, but we want to help any way we can. Well, part of that is isolating ourselves, sequestering ourselves in our homes. Well, what do we do then with the gathering for worship, which is so central to who we are as a people? Well, we have decided that through online platforms, through social networks, we can continue to meet together, realizing we're not a building. We're the body of Christ, united by the Holy Spirit, regardless where we are. So our gatherings are not illegitimate. They're simply the paradigm has shifted to a different platform.
Yeah. When you mentioned the Holy Spirit, that rang bells in my mind, because one of the things we Christians know better than anybody else is the fact that we were connected long before the world had all this technology, right? We are connected through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So that brings a caution, I guess, Carl, because churches that don't emphasize or talk very much or attribute very much of their worship to the Holy Spirit might find this time especially difficult. At our church, we keep reminding ourselves that we are still the church even after the benediction. We are still the body of Christ because we are connected to our head, who is Jesus. Thanks be to God for the technology. But my goodness, well, you sat in with us the other night on a little Bible study that we were doing online. It was great to have you there. And you said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you said something like, gosh, you can just sense, what was it, that you could sense the Spirit even across the interwebs or something like that, right?
Yes, and you could feel the love that they had for each other as they joyfully shared. It was almost difficult to terminate the meeting at the end because everyone just wanted to fellowship from a distance.
So, Carl, at your church, Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, you guys are doing what many of us are, some churches better than others. We're doing the best we can with a platform called Zoom. You guys, I think, are using that, maybe also Facebook and your own website. And you're doing these things, these worship services. I think I also saw a Wednesday night Bible study and maybe a Sunday school lesson or something like that from your church. What are some of the, let's say, opportunities, and what are some of the obstacles that you're facing just in communicating and trying to still shepherd the flock in the middle of all this?
Our church is probably a little older than some, so not everyone in our church is online.
Right.
It is the internet is not their most comfortable place to interact.
Right.
So it's difficult for them. And there are some we have to find creative ways to keep them connected. For most of us, this is a wonderful way. It's an alternative, of course. It's a substitute. And it's not like being together. Well, I don't want to suggest that it is. But it's just a wonderful way in the midst of this, given the situation we have, to try to gather. And some of the advantages to this, it's breaking down the walls of the traditional church where we were doing what we were doing sort of in a self-interested way, taking care of one another, doing what we do because it's comfortable to us. The world outside really didn't matter because we have what we have inside these four walls.
Yeah, yeah, right.
What this has caused us to do, Chris, is to think about reaching out to the world because now the walls have come down.
Yeah.
And through sharing opportunities, through watch parties, through a variety of ways, we can share what we are doing as a church, as we are gathering together with those outside our church. And this has been a huge eye-opening shift for many of our folks who never would have thought of this otherwise.
I think you said the other day, so on a Sunday morning at your place, there are, a couple hundred people, something like that, ballpark.
Yeah.
And so you were looking at the count of how many people who had at least looked at or clicked on the church worship service that was, I think, posted in your church Facebook page or something like that. And there were hundreds, right? I mean, it had been exposed to a lot of folks.
The views are, it's difficult to know. I think it's 3 seconds, so it's not necessarily people who sat down and watched the entire event.
Sure.
But just to think that you have had an impact on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, is really a wonderful concept. And it gets me excited to think we are reaching beyond ourselves to those who desperately need a touch from the Lord Jesus. And I think he desires to use us. His great commission would send us forth to make disciples of all nations. And it seems to me that the Lord has got our attention in these days to say, it's not about an address where you meet and you forget about the world for an hour or two, and then you go back out in the world and resume your lives. No, we're going to gather together, but we're going to share this, and we're going to offer this to the world that so desperately needs this. And I think pastors and church members alike have suddenly awakened. It's a beautiful thing to the possibilities of getting outside our four walls and going to the four corners of the earth.
Carl, that's a wonderful segue to the next sort of thing I wanted to talk about. And that is, and before we get to the what's going to happen after this, it occurs to me to ask you and just pick your brains about this. What do you think God is doing in this? What's he up to? I cannot help but see it as a wonderful opportunity because our brothers and sisters in Christ have viewed these kinds of things through the same lens. But I want to know what you think. What's God doing? What's he doing in this?
Well, I can't help but think of stories like Joseph. I just taught on this Wednesday where some horrible things happened to Joseph, but in every example, God brought a good out of what was intended for evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, we see this in the study that we had Wednesday when your church gathered digitally, and you talked about the man born blind and how God used that. Jesus used that healing of this blind man, used his blindness to bring glory to the Father, bring glory to God. I think of Lazarus. You know, when he died, we're talking about this Sunday.
Right.
You know, Jesus loved him so much that he waited 2 days before he went.
Yes.
You know, so so these things that happen, these evil things, things that are meant for evil, it seems, and I don't think the Lord caused this pandemic, okay? I don't think the Lord causes evil, but what I think is he brings good out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And the good that I see is some of the things that we've mentioned already today, and there are other things as well that I'm sure we'll get into, but I believe God transforms what is meant for evil into wonderful good. And we're seeing that.
Well, and the contrasts are very sharp right now, aren't they? You can really make a difference. You can stand out, Christians. Are you going to stand out for being a helper or a hoarder? I mean, there's something about these days that really draw sharp distinctions. Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Carl Peters. He's my buddy and a colleague and a pastor in Lexington, Kentucky. We're talking about this whole coronavirus thing, but especially, gosh, how pastors are dealing with, how congregations are dealing with this thing and what God might be up to. And are there some antecedents to this in our Christian past? Yes. And now sort of for the, gosh, $64,000 question, Carl, how do you think this is going to change how we do church after this is over? I can't help but think they're going to be lasting changes.
Well, I really believe that this shift of our way of thinking will continue. I don't think this will turn off when we simply go back to the church whenever this pandemic settles down and we return to the church building. I don't think this zeal for evangelism and discipleship and mission and ministry will stop. I really think the Lord has warmed our hearts to this. And I believe we will continue with online outreach. Mm-hmm. I think we will continue to be open to new ways. God does new things, and he is doing a new thing right now with us. And there'll be other things that come along, and I think we will be open to them, more open than we would have been otherwise because we have come through this experience.
Yeah, I agree with all of what you've said, although I'm probably a little more pessimistic on some things that you are, and there are some aspects that trouble me. I'm wondering about the health of individual churches coming out of this, because it has to be a hit for some. I wonder about how this is going to affect churches that are filled with Christians who are kind of an inch deep and a mile wide, if they aren't particularly committed. You know, a lot of people say today that they go to a particular church, but they don't necessarily belong to a particular church. What's that going to do? I'm not saying that God can't use that, and it might even be really helpful and healthy for the body, but I have some concerns as well. Do you?
I do, and I want to challenge people. If you're part of a church where you're treated as a consumer and not a vital part of the body of Christ, you really need to question whether that's a scriptural church.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hate to be so in your face with that, but I think it's worthy of some consideration. If we believe that the scriptures are an authority, it's our authority in spiritual matters, the church is not presented in scripture as a consumer, as a consumeristic, commodity-driven, commodity-selling entity. We are a body. And so as a body of Christ, as a family of faith, that's another picture of the church, as a spiritual house being built up by the Lord, these pictures are of an interconnectedness and of a living organism working together, intimately linked together by the Lord, by the gifts of the Spirit that he gives us for the building up of the body of Christ. If you're in a church that is not about that, I really question whether that's a New Testament church.
Yeah.
And here's the issue for me, Chris, if I may.
Yeah.
I think that these online platforms, online church, will cause many who are not committed to a church where they're a part of a body to look around and say, you know, I can click over here to another website and they're doing it better over here.
Yeah.
So I'll just go over here.
Right.
It's going to be easier than ever just to check out of and check into something else.
I think you're right.
And I would say to that, why do we go home at night?
Okay. Now what do you mean by that? Why do we go home at night?
Okay. I'm going to give you a little analogy here.
Okay.
When you go home at night, when you drive home from work every day and you go home, you drive by hundreds of homes,
yeah.
All right? You don't stop at any other home. You stop at your home. Why do you do that? Well, you know, the house down the street might have a prettier spouse or a spouse that cooks better.
Right.
The house might be more beautiful.
It might have
be
a pool.
Newer, have better a pool and more appointments. But you still go home. Why? Because that's where your family is.
There you go.
And that's why we need to be committed to a church where we belong as a part of the body, as a part of the family. And we don't dabble with somebody's got a better show down the street. That doesn't affect us at all. That's unfaithfulness. What we recognize is we're committed to this family of faith, this body of Christ, and I am responsible to use my gifts to edify and to build up this church.
Yeah, for sure.
And I will do what I am called to do to help in that sacred endeavor. And when we elevate our view of the church to that level, then all of this church hopping stuff fades into the background as so much superfluous waste of time.
Well, that's beautifully said. So I guess maybe in our few remaining seconds, we could just say, all right, here's what we need to be emphasizing while we are doing virtual gatherings. I'll start, and then let's just kind of bounce off of each other. We need to emphasize that we are connected in and through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? What else?
Absolutely. I think we need to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. This would be an easy time to sort of check out. This is the time to check in and to be a committed part of what God is doing.
I think we also need to emphasize the Trinity. And the reason is, as one theologian named Torrance said, so many Christians nowadays are effectively behaving like Unitarians. Why? Because they don't really think they would need the Holy Spirit because they can kind of stir themselves up into lifting themselves up into the presence of God. And they don't really need the person and work of Jesus Christ because, hey, I can kind of be my own mediator. So I think in a special way, especially these days, we need to emphasize the Trinity. Got one more for us, Carl?
Beautiful. Yeah, I think this is a wonderful time to recommit to personal spiritual growth.
There you go.
Take time every day as the Lord has given this time. Be a good steward of it. Redeem the time you've been given and read the scripture. Read devotional thoughts. May I commend to you the writings of the early church fathers. They are wonderful. And become more alive in your personal devotional life than you've ever been.
Beautifully said. Carl Peters, it's always wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much, especially taking time right now, given all that's going on. Thanks so much, Carl. It's a delight to have you.
Always a privilege to be with you, Chris. May the Lord bless you, brother.
Folks, until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to especially think about this, would you? Especially in light of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Surely, the road to our Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi, folks. It's Pastor Chris talking to you just one more time before you go, especially during these difficult days when we see so much pain and suffering around us. The Christian church needs to rise up and be the church. At Epiclesis, we're doing all that we can to equip the saints, especially for times like these. For more information, find us on the web at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. The Lord be with you.